You're listening to Welcome to Eloma, a podcast for highly ambitious dreamers who get shit done. I'm your host, Kylie Peters. This is a space where we talk about embracing risk. Now, entrepreneurship is all about risk. So those who are wildly averse to risk typically don't seek out the world of entrepreneurship. However, us entrepreneurs, we do need to get comfortable with risk and manage it in a healthy way. So we're going to talk more about that. I'm excited to chat with today's guest. Today's guest is Jill Mokes. Jill is an award-winning ICF certified business coach, writer, speaker, and the host of the Heads Together podcast. She works with freedom-seeking, risk-taking women around the world to help them grow phenomenal businesses doing the work that matters to them. Welcome to Eloma, Jill.
Thank you, Kylie. I am so happy to be here in Eloma. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to have you. Okay, so Jill, there's a lot of things that we could talk about, but we're going to talk about risk here. So what do you believe that women entrepreneurs need to know when it comes to taking risks, both in life and in business?
What do they need to know? I think they need to know that they can trust themselves. I think this is probably one of the most common things I talk to clients about, and that is helping them really develop a trust in themselves to make smart decisions, even when those decisions on the face of it feel risky to them. I mean, you just made a really good point when you opened them by saying that, you know, if you are really risk averse, entrepreneurship is just not going to be the right path for you necessarily. We are naturally people who are willing to take on probably a little more risk than the average person. I think that's true of most entrepreneurs. But even the kind of most innovative entrepreneur sometimes just needs that reminder that, well, yeah, this is risky, but also I'm smart. I make really good decisions for my business. Look what I've already achieved up till now. I don't make stupid, rash decisions. I'm okay. You know, I'm okay to trust myself on this. So I think it's about that trust.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. About trust. And as you've worked with a lot of women entrepreneurs, risk obviously is a big part of running a business. What obstacles do you see arise? We'll talk specifically about the ladies in their businesses, and how should we go about tackling these things?
Good question. I think that the biggest obstacle that I see come up all the time is the obstacle that stops you from going all in. The blocker, and it's the mindset. So it, like a lot of things when it comes to growing our businesses you know, really bringing to life that full fat version of the vision we have for our business. What often stops us is our own mindset. It's not a lack of knowledge. It's not a lack of business savvy. Quite often it's a desire to feel safe, a comfort that comes from playing small. And I think at some point, most women entrepreneurs need support. They need coaches. They need mentors. They need people around them, community, to be able to cultivate the courage to start playing a bigger game, to start taking the risks, for example. But also, a lot of women struggle to choose themselves for success. This is something I really see a lot. And this is what's really happening when you play small in your business, when you have this vision of what you'd really love to be doing, who you'd love to be serving, how you'd love to be serving them. But actually that doesn't quite, it's not represented by what you're actually doing in your business. You know, your real life version is much smaller than that. And it's often because at some point or at some point you haven't got to yet, you haven't actually chosen yourself for the success. You haven't chosen yourself and backed yourself to become the person who is running the business that you see in the big version, the all-in version of what you want to do.
That's big, Jill.
Right?
That's big.
It is big, isn't it?
It is. Like this idea of, I mean, we talk about there's a million decisions we make in the world of entrepreneurship all day, every day. Mm-hmm. But I think you make a great point. Like you have to choose yourself and you have to choose yourself to be successful.
Absolutely.
That's just not something that we typically think about, but you're absolutely right.
It isn't. It isn't something we typically think about. And I think sometimes behind that is this feeling that some level of success is what's possible for other people, not us. We make decisions, internal decisions about what is available to us. And when we do the work, and sometimes this could be quite deep work, it can be around really uncovering where you've set that bar internally and why.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really important one. That bar is often your obstacle.
Okay. And what, in your experience, as we're talking about this bar being the obstacle, what does that typically look like for people? Is it a mindset? Is it like previous experiences? Is it limiting beliefs? Is it like, what typically is the culprit behind this bar that we set for ourselves?
Yeah, I think it's always comes back to limiting beliefs. They have their roots in different places, but absolutely, it's always a belief or a story that we have that we've either inherited or we've adopted or someone else has, kind of forced upon us of who we are. And I think it really is as fundamental as that. It's as fundamental as going deep enough to do the real work around who we are without the lens that other people put on us. So, it can be some, this can be really deep work, I think. And sometimes it's stuff that we pay lip service to. It's like we read the books and we'll listen to a book, or we'll read something about it. And it's kind of, oh, that's interesting. But I'm not sure that many of us stop and really apply that to ourselves and think, hang on, what are the stories that someone else has kind of given me about myself? Is it that my mum, for example, was always telling me that I was like a flim-flammer, and by that she would mean like a bit of a shiny object person, I'd never get anything finished, and I was always flitting from one thing to another, and she would always have this really negative lens on that. So I grew up thinking that that was a really bad trait about me. So in a way, that was limiting for me. Well, there's no point in me trying something like that because I'll probably give up because that's who I am.
Mm.
And when I started doing some of this deeper work around who I am and what's available to me, and when I remove that bar that has been set inside me, it was only really then that I suddenly realized, hang on, I might try lots of different things and not complete any of them, but that's because I'm actually really passionate about lots of different things. I'm really brave, and I'm not afraid to fail, and I'm happy to flip from one thing to another and try out things on for size. And if it doesn't fit, I'll move on to another thing. And I'm absolutely okay with that. That's not limiting to me. That's actually opens lots of doors for me. So you can see like that flipping, I think, of the mindset and knocking away our own obstacles, I think is.
And taking ownership of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so as we talk about limiting beliefs, and I like how you said that they are rooted in different places, oftentimes for most people. But that's typically the common thing. So what do you think is a relationship here between limiting beliefs as that obstacle towards choosing success and embracing risk in the world of entrepreneurship?
Yeah. Well, I think that it's tied up together, isn't it? I think that if we have accepted some of these stories about ourselves, these limiting beliefs about who we are and what we're capable of and what's available to us in our life, in our business. If we've accepted those and those have become obstacles to us, then I think that absolutely affects the level of risk we're willing to take, because I guess it's like you're starting with a disadvantage, isn't it? If you are feeling pretty limitless and you're feeling pretty much capable of anything and you're feeling brave and expansive, then I believe the limit of risk you are willing to tolerate to get more of that feeling, to really go for what you want, is going to be much higher than if you have these stories inside that you are, maybe you're a procrastinator, or you've been told that you are a flim-flammer like me, or you've been told that, you know, actually you're this good, but you're not that good. And you've believed those stories. Maybe you're the one saying it. Maybe you're the one making up the story that's turning into the limiting belief. Then you're not going to tolerate a lot of risk. And entrepreneurs who can't tolerate risk are going to stay pretty static. You know, they can, quite often you will find that there are risk-averse entrepreneurs who earn a nice living and, you know, can run a sustainable business by being that way. You know, I'm not for one minute saying that we all have to start throwing caution to the wind and taking huge risks to be successful.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think that's true. But at the same time, I think if you really have a big vision and you have a vision for yourself of what wild success would look like for you, then I believe you've got to address those mindset issues that are inside, raise that bar, or take away that bar, ideally, and get comfortable with more risk and trust yourself to make the smart decisions. I think that's, again, what it comes back to.
The Accelerator is exactly what you've been looking for. If you're either an executive woman ready to leave corporate and start your own thing, but don't know where or how to get started, or you're an existing woman small business owner and you're ready to level up your business, we've built a one-of-a-kind six-month training program with over a dozen industry experts that took me nearly a decade to assemble, and I am delivering this to you on a platter. I have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars and months of wasted time and energy over the last decade by not having these resources available to me. And I want to change the way women are running their businesses so they can make more money faster with less anxiety and fewer unreliable partners, which is why we built the Accelerator. It's time to level up and make sure you're leveraging your business to support the life you want to be living personally, professionally, and financially. Learn more at rixaccelerator.com. Oftentimes when we talk about people tying entrepreneurship to risk, right? The flip of that, generally speaking, is, okay, well, instead of me working for myself, I'll work for someone else, and that's safer. And that's more
stable,
right?
Oh, that's always a good one,
right?
Yeah.
But the reality is, for anybody who's ever been fired or laid off, you know that that's not true, because...
No.
And I'm not saying this for every company. This is not true for every company. But in many situations, you're a number. You're a headcount. And your salary just hits a bottom line, right? So, you know, it's like, in some cases, like, there is risk for working for somebody else because you have a lack of control in many cases. But if we look at entrepreneurship, you have all of the control, which is also a huge risk. You know, like, sometimes that's not the thing that we want, right? Sometimes you have all of the control. And then other times, like when COVID hit or recessions or whatever, you still have a lack of control. So I love how you're bringing this back to mindset, because I agree with that in a lot of ways, because that's really one of the only things that we actually do have control over.
Right. And I do believe that there was a time when there were some jobs that were super secure. I always remember, like, my dad would have absolutely loved if I'd gone into the civil service, worked for the government. And like, that was like job for life, really good pension, probably would have died by the age of 40 from boredom. But, you know, he would have been very happy with that move. But I don't think those jobs actually exist anymore. There are no jobs for life
different.
Anymore. It doesn't work like that now. And
no.
I think you made such a good point there that actually maybe the more secure jobs are the ones where you have more control. And as an entrepreneur, you absolutely have control. You have sovereignty around every decision you make in your business.
Yep.
Sometimes that's going to feel like a good thing. And sometimes that's going to feel overwhelming.
Yes. Yeah.
But having the control means that you are in the driving seat. You can make changes quickly. You can pivot. You can be reactive. You know, we all think about being reactive in a negative way. But I think as a business owner, there's some real power and strength in a small business being able to be reactive. And, you know, when...
Yeah.
We've seen this happen all the time when things like COVID have happened, and the small businesses who suddenly went online and found other ways to do things.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that sovereignty around having your own business, being at the wheel yourself, taking the business in any direction you want to take it in, is real freedom. It's real freedom.
Yeah, and I agree.
Does that mean it's not safe? Or that a job would be a safer option. Maybe for some people it would feel that way. But I think the reality is that actually I personally find safety in the control that I have of my own destiny, I guess.
Yes. And I mean, but doesn't that also still go back to our mindset? Right. So if we don't feel comfortable and confident in ourselves, in our ability to make decisions, if we are limited by our limiting beliefs, to think that we have full control over ourselves can be a kind of scary thing. Right.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Versus the flip of that. Right. So if we're feeling like totally confident, we have all the courage, we believe in ourselves, we believe that we have what we need to make ourselves successful. And then we are more likely to embrace that risk. And we're like, yes, I want to be the one in control because I trust myself.
Mm.
It all comes back to mindset and limiting beliefs.
It all comes back
full
to the
circle.
Mindset. Yep, absolutely. I tell you, one of the most common pieces of work I do with clients who are struggling with this, who are struggling with that, the weight of responsibility around the decision-making for their business. I think, you know, there's a lot. And one of the pieces of work I often do around that is getting them to let go of the need for validation. Because something that happens a lot with women, and men, I'm sure. I only work with women, so I can only speak to that. But what I see a lot is that when something is feeling like a big, scary decision, our natural instinct seems to be to go ask other people's opinions, seek feedback, try and get validated, try and get people to agree with us that it's the right thing to do, you know? And one of the best ways that you can work on your own mindset to begin trusting your own intuition is to stop doing that. Is to stop constantly seeking validation for the things you're doing. And I think we do it more often than we realize. I do it still often.
Totally
I
guilty.
Love having feedback. I love hearing what other people think. And if I'm intentionally seeking it because I genuinely would like a different perspective or some genuine constructive feedback on something, that's one thing. If I'm just seeking validation of something that I believe to be true or a decision, a direction I want to go in, then I think that need for validation can be quite limiting in itself. So that's often a really good place to start when if this is something that comes up for you.
Yeah. And what do you think is contributing to that? A limiting belief or something else?
I think it's a limiting belief. I think it's a feeling it's being scared of getting it wrong.
Yeah.
It's being scared of the
fear
consequences
of
getting it wrong, of course.
Yeah.
It's fear of failure. It's fear of judgment. It's all of those things that paralyze us when it comes to making decisions. Because risk is very much tied up with decision-making. And we find decision-making really hard because we don't have a crystal ball. Right? If only we had that crystal ball that would say, you know, should I rebrand my business or should I carry on with it how it is? Should I stick with one podcast or is it time for me to launch a second one? Not that I'm speaking from personal experience with any of these examples. But those can feel like really big decisions to make as a business owner. And the temptation is to want to gather as many opinions on it as you can before you make the decision, because you don't have the crystal ball that says, oh, yeah, Jill, I can give you 100% guarantee you this idea of doing the second podcast, bang on, that's exactly what you need to be doing. Right? We don't have that. So we feel like we're kind of trying to get it from asking other people what they think. What do you think I should do? Would you do that? Right? We really want that because it feels like a crystal ball then, because it feels, well, if they think it too, then it must be true.
Then it must be true.
And so the more we can stop doing that or try and limit the amount that we do that, and the more we can come back to, what do I really think? Do I trust myself to make this decision? I've made smart decisions for my business before.
Yeah.
How's it going to feel to just back myself, to choose myself for success around this one decision?
Myself. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, and as you mentioned earlier, you know, this takes courage. This takes courage. So for anybody listening who is saying, well, this is all really resonating with me, I'm glad you're listening. But words of advice would you share in terms of how we muster up or how we find that courage to take these leaps, to take these risks in our business and to choose ourselves for success?
That's a really, really good question because I think there's loads of talk all the time, isn't there, around mindset? And I could spout sound bites about mindset all day long and courage and backing yourself to win and choosing yourself for success and all of those things. But what does that actually mean? What do we actually have to do differently to feel differently?
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to having the courage to trust your intuition, the courage to make big decisions, the courage without needing that validation, you know, the courage to take ownership of all of that, courage is exercised like a muscle. So my absolute tip is to start being courageous around small decisions that you need to make. So don't start this process by thinking, I have been thinking about emigrating to a different country and Jill said that I have to trust my courage. Okay, that's it. We're all
that's
going.
That's not the small one.
No, don't start with that one. But do start with decisions around what is the right, I don't know, marketing strategy for my business. I'm really like, I have this gut feel that I want to, I don't know, start a YouTube channel, but I've heard that's really hard. And I've heard lots of noise around that, you know, it's really difficult to make it in that arena. And it's probably too hard for me. You know, why would I be successful in doing that? You know, that can be a really typical internal conversation, right? For a business owner when they're thinking of doing something different. But what if you approached it with, hang on, I can be absolutely courageous around being honest about what I really feel about this. So if I'm honest, this is something I really want to do. If I'm honest, I actually think I'll be really good at it. If I'm honest, do I believe that no one can have a successful show on YouTube anymore? No, I don't believe that. Right? And so exercising courage in getting to the truth of what you really believe about something can be where you start. And that's really small. You're not even taking any action, right? Mm-hmm. But you're exercising that courage muscle by facing up to the truth of what you think about something, not what everyone else is saying about it or telling you. So yeah. That can often be where we start. And then we start by just, like I say, making courageous decisions one at a time without the need for constant validation, by telling ourselves that I trust myself to make a smart decision here. I really mm-hmm. trust myself that I'm going to pick the right decision with the information I have right now. I'm not going to be frightened of getting it wrong, because actually, you know, we never make a wrong decision. This is something that I'm really passionate about, actually. You know, we don't make wrong decisions. We make the right decision based on the information and the feelings we have at the time. So there's no such yeah. thing as a wrong decision. It can mean that the consequences of the decision don't pan out the way you hope they would. And yeah. that's okay. It's okay to be courageous enough to make decisions and them not go according to plan, because you are then, again, with the sovereignty we have as business owners, we're free. We're free to say, okay, that didn't work out the way I was hoping it would. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'm going to do now. What's my intuition telling me to do now?
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame my intuition. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have a crystal ball. So we don't know. We don't know. And the world is changing so Absolutely. Rapidly all of the time. So it's like, just because something worked once or worked before doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work again.
Absolutely right. And just because something worked for someone else doesn't mean it will work for us.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a really important one too.
Yeah. And I thank you for bringing that up, because I was just talking to an undergrad class here in Milwaukee, and I was talking to them about building businesses. And so often as business owners, entrepreneurs, we are looking at our competitors and we're like, oh, well, that's working for this person or that's working for this person. And so if that's working, then I should do it too. And at the end of the day, like, all that does is make you a copycat, right? It's not uniquely true to you. It's not uniquely, like, there's no unique differentiator, which is key in a business sense, right? So if we're not being honest with ourselves and like staying in our mm-hmm. own lane, then we're not really building anything of unique value, because we're trying to be an amalgamation of all these other entities.
Yeah, absolutely. I often say that there's nothing as powerful for an entrepreneur than a blank sheet of paper and no Ooh. Earbuds in. So no consumption and just a blank sheet of paper to be able to create on is a really powerful tool for entrepreneurs, because I think we overconsume, and which yeah. is ironic because we both have podcasts and I love listening to podcasts. I think there's an absolute time and a place for it. But I think as entrepreneurs in general, we do overconsume other people's stuff. And I think we have to really start to, going back to that thing of trusting our own intuition, sometimes we don't even give space for our own intuition to speak up. You know, we can't Yep. hear it because we've drowned it out with so much other stuff that we've consumed. So that, you know, a blank sheet of paper and getting out to your really good point, what is really authentically you, is really, it's kind of your only differentiator, of course. There's
I believe that.
Unique in the business world other than you.
I totally believe that 100%. If we're not, and that's why, you know, we've talked about this here on the show, but in my company, Rain 9, we talk about you have to define success for yourself and then align your business accordingly. Because really, truly, just right. like we just said, you are the only differentiator. The way you think that a problem needs to be solved, your experiences, what you bring to the table, you are the only differentiator. And there's ways to scale
absolutely
that,
right.
but it has to be rooted in you.
I just couldn't agree more. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that people who crack that, the entrepreneurs who really get that, those are the ones we remember. Those are the people who stand out head and shoulders mm-hmm. above everyone else. And are they the most beautiful, the cleverest, the most sophisticated, the people with the most complex sales funnels? You know, is it any of those things? No, it's really not. It's that they know who they are and they allow their values to speak up. They allow their really inherent mm-hmm. kind of themness to speak up. And we remember yeah. them for it.
And some people might consider that a risk because it's not going to be the right thing for everybody, and that's okay. But again, mm-hmm. as we talk, we're going to circle back and put a bow on this. It's like taking that risk of being honest with yourself and putting yourself out into the world and trusting that you are where you need to be and that you are who you need to be and trusting the process.
Absolutely. And you know what? That trust in who you're meant to be, you nurture that by showing up with complete authenticity. That's mm-hmm. how you build the trust. Because the yeah. minute you introduce an element of trying to be something you're not or someone you're not, you're totally eroding the foundation on which trust is built.
Yeah.
And so it's much less likely that you're going to ever get to that place where you're choosing yourself for success, where you're backing yourself to bring to that big vision to life. You know, it's much less likely that you're ever going to do that. If you can build a massively deep foundation that's rooted in who you really are, because that's the only time you can ever show up consistently for anything is if you're doing it 100%. As yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then that's where the gold is. And it's funny, isn't it? Because I feel like for some people, that's counterintuitive because they're feeling like I need to be like those successful people that I see out there. And therefore I'm going to emulate that.
Yeah.
And actually the most successful people are just being themselves. So and that's what you need to do, not emulate them.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Jill, we could sit here and talk all day, and I love it.
I absolutely could talk with you.
But you are working on some really cool things right now. You want to tell us a little bit about some of the fun things that you have coming up?
My gosh, I have some interesting stuff around and about and that I'm working on. So a couple of big things coming up. One is I'm going to go with this as an absolute exclusive, although by the time this comes out, I might have shared about it on my podcast, but let's call it a complete and utter groundbreaking exclusive. You heard it first
right now.
Yeah. Is that I am launching a second podcast. I slightly hinted at it. So, you know, my current podcast Heads Together is going to be an absolutely still going to be a thing, and it will just be an interview show. And then my solo episodes will come together in a new separate podcast, which I am absolutely open to all and every suggestion for names. It's a podcast for coaches who want to grow humongously fabulous coaching practices. So, yeah. If any of your listeners have ideas for names for a podcast, do let me know, because I, unlike you, am not a good name person, Kylie.
Ooh.
Oh,
I would love to get in there.
You're the person to ask. Get in there.
Come on, I would love to get in there. Good. Yeah, yeah.
I'm loving it.
Okay, we'll dig into that.
That's one thing. And then also in second quarter of this year, I'm going to be launching a group program. So I haven't done one for probably 18 months now. So wow, okay. I'm going to be launching another group program, and that is going to be to help coaches create, market, and sell their signature high ticket coaching offer.
Nice.
So that's what I got going on. That's what I'm busy with at the moment. That is alongside coaching my private clients, which is always my absolute favorite thing to do. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. Jill, I love you and I think so similarly about so many things. And so it's always fun to jump into conversation with you. And I think we see the world in very similar ways.
I agree. But I've got a couple.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's very fun. I've got a couple questions for you as we wrap up here.
Okay. I'm ready.
What impact do you want to make on the world, or what legacy do you want to leave?
I want to... That's a great question. And it's a really good question. And as a coach, as a business coach, I feel like I should have an answer waiting for that. That's going to fall off the tip of my tongue.
No, sometimes I think it's just in the moment.
Instead, I'm going to give you this real one.
Let's do it.
The impact I want to have, and genuinely this is the impact I want to have, is that I believe we need to elevate the coaching industry. Okay. Everyone knows that the barrier to entry for the coaching industry is too low. It is too easy for anyone to call themselves a coach, take money from genuine clients who want the transformation that you know, unqualified new entry coach is offering, and are not going to get the results that they want. I think I really believe that we need to elevate the coaching industry as a profession. And that's really the part of the impact I want to have. I want to really help qualified coaches who have invested in their coach training, coaches who know they're outstanding at what they do and can genuinely deliver incredible results for their clients, like you do in your business, Kylie. You know, those people are the people who I want to make up the whole coaching industry, because that's what clients deserve.
And absolutely,
those are the clients I want to help. If I can help more of those kind of clients grow their businesses, then this is going to sound a bit harsh, but maybe it's time to crowd out the coaches who really haven't invested in their training, don't bring about transformational results for their clients, and shouldn't be taking up space in our industry.
I agree with that. I'm not going to fight that. I've had a bad coaching experience in my past, and I literally had PTSD from it. And it took me years before I started working with another coach.
I mean, that's awful. That's absolutely awful.
And then as I went through my coaching certification, I went back to this person and I was like, were they even a certified coach? And they weren't. And I was like, how dare you? How dare you?
How dare you? You don't know what you don't know. How dare you take my money and make me a promise of a service, of something you're going to deliver to me that you have no intention of delivering because you're unable to? That's not fair. Yeah. And like, justice is like something I value so much. Any form of injustice in the world, in whatever form it takes, just drives me crazy. So yeah, that's the impact I want to have.
All right. So we're elevating coaches. And then, Jill, my last question for you, as you've lived life, you've been an entrepreneur. What is your greatest insight or discovery about both life and entrepreneurship, the pair of them?
Oh, okay. My biggest insight is that nothing is ever as complicated as we make it. I think that's probably my biggest insight. Like, particularly, I mean, life doesn't need to be as complicated as we make it, shouldn't be as complicated as we like to make it. And business, don't get me started. Like, people love to complicate their business so much. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. Business is about three things. It's about I don't know if you can see my sign, but it's about, you know, be a nice person. Don't be an idiot. It's about, you know, be better at what you do than most people. Just be outstandingly good at what you do. And thirdly, put relationships above algorithms. Do those three things. Mm. Do those three things. And that's as complicated as your business needs to be. If everything comes back to those three things.
I love that, Jill. All right. Well, we can't keep you all day as much as I would like. Jill, for anybody listening and they want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what's the best way to do that?
The absolute best way to do that is to go to jillmokes.com, and you will find out more about me there. If you go to jillmokes.com/explore, you will find lots of different little things to download and look at and listen to and all sorts. It will welcome you into my world.
There we go. And we'll make sure that's in the show notes as well. For anybody listening, if you've enjoyed this episode, please go ahead and leave us a review. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at rixnewsletter.com. And if you want to find me on LinkedIn, I would love to connect. Jill, thank you so much for sharing your words of wisdom with us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Kylie.
If you're interested in asking me questions about running your business, but you're working on a budget and only need a teeny tiny bit of handholding right now, check out the CEO Hotline. This is an online community that I'll be managing on a weekly basis, answering questions about running your business. And then we'll have a monthly live Q&A where I'll answer whatever questions you have in real time. Learn more at RixCEOHotline.com. To continue learning how to better build your business and make your vision a reality, subscribe to the Welcome to Eloma email list at WelcomeToEloma.com.